Have you ever considered if, as a music educator, you feel empowered? Do you take ownership of your own professional growth? Today's guest shares how he created his own professional development and how that has impacted his students.
Welcome to Pass the Baton, Empowering Students in Music Education. Here, we amplify the voices of music teachers around the world who are passing the baton and creating environments where the music students are empowered. Together, we can help students transform from passive consumers to vibrant creatives.
Welcome back to the Pass the Baton podcast. I'm Catherine Finch.
And I'm Teresa Hoover. And we're so glad that you're here with us today. Yeah. Okay. So, Catherine, it's officially winter break right now while we're recording.
Yes.
I know. Even though this will come out after winter break, that's okay. Yeah. But let's back up a little bit. December, how were the winter sings?
Oh, they were good. I was actually just recently looking on Facebook and because our district posts things, and it's fun to kind of step back and see it as a whole and be like, oh, they do look great. Mm-hmm. And they sounded good.
And just to like refresh my memory. So the winter sing, it's not like a chorus concert, right? This is all the students.
This is all students first through fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Thing. Yeah.
And one of the things I remember you were talking about going into it was, I don't want to say concerns, but just you were really thinking about how to make sure that all the students were involved. How did it turn out?
Yeah, no. And my thinking of what all is changed over the years. Like, we have students in my classrooms who have a variety of abilities, right? And I just over the years have become way more, greater understanding of like, how do you get all kids on stage and shine? And that looks different sometimes for kids. And how do you support them and make sure that they are successful, all of them? And so we had one rehearsal with one first grade group that I just couldn't quite get like the whole thing to work. And it was just like, how do I get everybody to look good on stage? And at one point we were doing something that was like too much that was catering towards one student, and it really wasn't showcasing the rest of the kids. And nobody was okay with that. We were like, okay, that's not working. So we finally kind of switched to like, everybody's playing a jingle bell, and one student is putting on a snowman's hat and then joining the group. And like, it took a little extra time to take care in that, but it was like so rewarding at the end. Aww. To see everybody shine on stage and everybody do well. And in the end, our little struggle ended up with like the whole group doing something more musical anyways. They were doing Jingle Bells to the Beat first grade. Like it, you know, it just like before they were like putting on a prop on stage, and in the end they were steady beat with Jingle Bells. Like it kind of just was a better solution for everybody. But I think kind of knowing that, really starting to take notice, take a step back and see all your kids and like, how are they all doing on stage? And is there anything else you can do to help everybody shine? And it's so worth it when you do that. It just takes a lot of time, right? And I'm lucky that I have other teachers in my district that like, the classroom teacher was fantastic and the special ed teacher was fantastic. And like us working together to try to decide like, what is the best solution? And not just for this one student, but for all of the students in the class. And it was just, it's cool. It's really cool.
That's really neat. I think it's such a good thing to remember, right? Just because, oh, well, this one student can't do what everyone else is doing. Oh, well, no, you figure right. out, right? And I think a lot of us have come around to that. I think when we were kids, that may not have been the case, like when you and I were in school.
Right.
But I think we've done a much better job of thinking about all the students and how we can really be intentional. And I think that even, you know, makes me think back to like how we titled the book, Empowering All Music Students, right?
Yeah.
How we're going to make sure that all of them are seen and feel valuable and just can be musical.
Yeah.
That's really, really special. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that it was a success, and you're, I'm sure you're a little relieved that we've moved past that and we're now getting some much needed time off.
Yes, I am. I am. I am. I am.
Good. That's really good. Yeah. So to kind of transition into today's guest, you know, Catherine, I'm glad that when I brought this idea up that you were open to it, because we talk about, right, empowering the students. But today's guest, I thought it was just neat when I was listening to him talk on his podcast, he really has found ways to be empowered himself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we forget sometimes, that as teachers, we have to feel empowered in what we do as music educators if there's any chance that we're going to be able to create an environment where students feel that same kind of ownership.
Yeah. I mean, I think we even had that conversation in, when we were creating the book. Do we put the empowered music educator first or last in the book? Because it's such an important piece, you know, like you have to, you've got to walk the walk, and, you know, and you've got to model it so that kids are like, oh, all right, they really mean it. They're doing it. And it's okay. They're being vulnerable. I can be vulnerable. And it's super, super important.
Yeah.
Well, and he has great ideas.
Yeah. I think this is going to be an episode everybody really enjoys. Yeah. Okay. So before we get to the interview, remember we've got show notes below in the podcast player, or they're linked in YouTube or wherever it is that you happen to be listening and watching. So be sure to check that out. And then if you could also think about leaving us a review. I know we ask this every single week, but we really actually mean it. The reviews help so much. So if you could, you know, take a moment, just pause the podcast, pause the video, leave a rating, leave a review, all of that, because it helps get these important messages out to other people, right?
Yeah.
We truly believe that the people can gain a lot from these interviews. That's we do every single week. We learn so much from these guests. So a rating and review would help immensely.
Yeah. And then we also have the Buy Me a Coffee site. So for less than the cost of a cup of coffee, you can send us a support, which again is another just great way to help us with hosting fees and website expenses and things like that.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Pass the Baton podcast. We are here today with Kyle Smith, so which is a pleasure to get to meet Kyle. Kyle, do you mind introducing yourself a little bit and tell us about your background?
Sure. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm the band director at Westbrook High School, which is up in the Northeast in the state of Maine. My wife and I have been here for, since 2006. She teaches the middle school students and I teach the high school students. So I've been here for a long time. I'm in my 21st year of teaching, teach everything that you can imagine on the instrumental side of things. And luckiest teacher in the world, because my wife is a fantastic teacher. and then a couple of years ago, started the Growing Band Director podcast with my friend, Jeff Smith.
Well, that's awesome. And I think you might be our first guest from Maine. Is that right?
Maybe, yeah.
So that's very exciting.
The greatest state.
Yes, I have one of my cohort members is also from Maine, and he tells us that often. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, you know, this is kind of a neat interview for us. I started listening to your podcast probably earlier this school year and have really enjoyed it. And one of the things that stuck out to me is that you talked about, you know, typical music teacher, band director things, but you kind of talked about how it's helped you. And, you know, let's see, how am I going to say this better? You've talked about how, like, this has helped you as an educator to grow, and maybe that's even where we'll start. So why the growing band director?
One of my mentors, his name is Tom Lazat. He's well known in the drum corps world and in education circles. He always told me that there's a famous quote by Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's. And I used it on the original intro to the podcast, and I don't use it anymore. But Ray Kroc's quote was, if you're green, you're growing. And if you're ripe, you rot. So that was instilled in me in a young age as a teacher, is to always have that growth mindset. So, you know, I always searching for the next thing to help my students and to help myself. I just decided when I was having some of these conversations with Jeff about things, and I said, why don't we just start recording these and do what we normally do? So that's why the growing band director.
That's awesome. You know, so if you first think it, you're like, oh, growing as somebody who's just starting, but clearly you're not just starting, right?
Nope.
And I love the fact that you're always learning. So you said that you were having conversations and that's kind of where this started. You just wanted to share those conversations. Like that's.
Yeah. And when you have a platform like this, then other people, I mean, how often do you just want to sit there and have band director talk? You want to just hang out with another band director and just talk and just see where it goes. You know, so many people like that. And so it turns out a lot of people like listening to it too.
Yeah. So you've really found a way to take ownership. And I think that's kind of what we wanted to focus today, Catherine, right? Is how you have been able to really take ownership and to kind of empower yourself as a music educator, which is just as important as us empowering our music students, right? I don't think we can think about empowerment for our students if we don't have that within ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Catherine.
I feel like when we go through the process, you know, and just remind ourselves what it is like to be a learner, I think that only helps us, teach our children or teach our students. Like we've been through that learning process. We understand, you know, the importance of the struggles, the highs, the lows, all the things. Our next question would be like, how has the podcast empowered you as a music educator?
It's really allowed me to connect with people like from everywhere, you know, like people who I consider band celebrities, you know, down to like just teachers who are teaching, you know, wherever, whenever, and just learning from them each and every week. It's taught me that the teaching that I do in my program, that I have a ton in common with all of these other programs and these other teachers. I realized that, okay, I'm talking to, you know, someone who's going to Midwest in a week with their wind ensemble. But we talk about how they approach it. And it's like, well, that's how I approach my wind ensemble. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just you know, you might be in a different part of the country, or you might have 5,000 kids in your school and I've got 600, you know? So yeah, I just learned that like the common threads are everywhere, you know, like that I could teach somewhere else and it would be basically the same, you know, I'm fortunate to teach in a band town. Quote unquote. And I love that. But that good teaching is good teaching. And people who I look up to are super nice people. And it's really empowered me to just know that I can connect with anybody I want.
That's awesome. Yeah. Sometimes we'll say that like, this is almost a little bit of a selfish podcast because we get to talk to like, we get to talk to the people that we are really excited to talk to.
Like, can I put out a tease real quick? Like,
oh, yeah. Please.
There's somebody who it's probably gonna come out in February. I get to sit down with Michael Sweeney.
Like, whoa.
Like, is there a bigger name? Like, you could do an entire career of music of Michael Sweeney.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. So that's exciting. Well, that was like, I think it was last season we interviewed Jody Blackshaw and I almost like, you know, the fangirl moment was pretty powerful. So yeah, I can understand that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, isn't it funny that I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry, but isn't it funny that when you meet somebody like that and you realize how nice they are, it's like how nice they are and how hard they work.
Yes.
You realize, well, this person won't have a great career if they can't work with people well. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think the common thread is that everyone really just wants to share what they're doing and wants to help other people. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, your conversation with Michael Sweeney, I'm sure, is not going to be all of him selling his music. He doesn't need to do that. But the things that people can learn from that is so, so valuable and so worthwhile.
Like I haven't started working on that episode yet, but like one of the questions in my mind is, Michael Sweeney has the gift to be able to take any grade level, seemingly any piece of music, and make it a masterpiece. Like, how do you do that? You know? What's something a band director could do to maybe even think about doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm excited to listen already.
Yeah.
So
Teresa, but I was just thinking too, like to the answer too of, you know, what it does for you, like that sounds so personalized, right? Like that sounds like PD I would really love to have because it's so meaningful to what I'm doing right now in my classroom. So I could see why you do it. Why we have the Pass the Baton podcast, right? It's just such good personalized learning.
you mentioned like the personal thing. I have a friend, band director at Foxborough High School down in Massachusetts named Aaron Bush. And it's one of the top jazz bands you will ever hear anywhere. I mean, I heard them in October one year and they sounded like the Count Basie band. I mean, they were just like ridiculous. And we're recording for essentially Ellington this year with no hopes of getting in top 15 or anything, but just going through that process. So he came on a Zoom call, and before we started, he was going to walk me through how they go through all the details. And I said, do you mind if I press record and use this? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. Well, it was like an hour's worth of gold from this great teacher. And selfishly, I got to just take it in and then share it with everybody. So,
yeah. But, you know, we talk so much about how for our students, the learning has to be personal. It has to be meaningful to them. It has to be relevant. We say that so often, like, oh, why aren't the kids connecting? Well, because it doesn't mean anything to them. I guess we don't think about that for ourselves quite as much. Because what you're both saying is it's personal. It was meaningful to me. You know, your jazz band was preparing to do something. So you were seeking out information about that. Catherine, you've talked about it before in general music world. When you're looking for specific, you know, specific ideas with general music, you seek out that because it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. It's relevant. It's timely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only logical that these things that we know are so important and so valuable to the kids in front of us are also going to be valuable to us as educators.
You talk about being relevant. You know, I mm-hmm. like, how many podcasts do you listen to? For me, it's probably 15. I have like 15 on there. Mm-hmm. And you, how often do you have one on and then you shut it off and you have it on and you shut, like, you might listen to 3 minutes, but if it's not relevant, you know, just as a podcaster, because I know how a band directors work, if they're going 10 minutes and they hear me talk about random stuff, like, I'm not funny. You know, they could listen to Conan O'Brien or somebody, like, yeah, good at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, I think of the band director who is in their car and they're 11 minutes from school. And I'm hoping that in that 11 minutes, they can get at least one thing that day they can do to help their program. That's sort of been our thought, as practical and relevant as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So what are some of the things that you feel like you've learned? You know, you talked about the jazz interview. What are some other good things that you've been just like, oh my goodness, yes. And you've been able to implement it maybe that day or that week.
So I have a broader answer, but I also have a specific answer because I know you're looking for that too. Oh. So the specific one is this. There's something called the rhythm train method that Steve Massey developed in Foxborough. And he's a retired master teacher. And what it is basically getting your students to move and dance with music as you warm up. So he uses it, in the jazz band setting, but you could do this in anything. And I've heard a variation on this that I'll share as well. So basically, it's a book of rhythms. It's the book they use is called the Ted Reed Syncopation Book. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's Syncopation for the Modern Drummer is the name of the book. And it's basically quarter note and eighth note rhythms. And if you can read these, then you can, it's anything you'd ever see in jazz band. So it's meant for a drum set player, and this is like the left hand part that they would practice with. But what it has, if you just picture like an old person dancing, right? Like somebody who can't dance at all, they just go like step, clap, step, clap, step, clap, step, clap, right? And they're clapping on 2 and 4 with the drum set. And then they're singing all of these rhythms. So they're moving and dancing with the music. And then as they do that, they're singing ba ba da do da. Ba ba da do da, you know, just like repetition, and then you can play that too. But the movement piece of it, I learned about this on October 2nd, 2022. I started it October 10th because that was the next Monday I came back, and I've done it every jazz rehearsal since. And just last year, when I listened to my big band at like our state festival, the pocket was 10 times deeper than it's ever been. Just, you know, it's not notes and rhythms things, but it's like when you hear a band that's really tight versus a little tight. Mm-hmm. I heard at Midwest, somebody who was a great middle school teacher said with her jazz band, her warm up was similar. What she did is she had Every Day I Have the Blues by the Count Basie band on. And that was like their warm up tune, quote unquote. But these kids, and imagine all the middle school kids, they would run around and dance around the band room, singing all of their parts. But they didn't just do it once. They literally did it every single rehearsal the entire year. So, you know, get a month into it and they know the tune really well. They're singing all the parts and they're moving with it. And she swore that, you know, it's the same concept. You incorporate the entire body and get them to feel the music. It's just a brilliant way to get your band to be really tight. So that's my specific one that I used right away.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. And I'm seeing the general music teacher here go, no kidding.
I know.
And I saw a general music clinic once, and it changed my teaching as a high school band director, because I realized that the best general music teachers have the students engaged as close to 100% of the time as possible. If not, they will be doing somersaults and picking their nose, right? So
how do you know my classroom? Exactly.
You know, like when a general music teacher is going to sing or play something and they say, okay, students, pat with me or keep mm-hmm. the beat with me, right? Like I said, that's brilliant. Okay, so I do that in my band class every single day. You know, finding a way for them, if the trumpets are working on something, well, the rest of the band is going to be patting the beat or whisper counting and patting or whatever it is. But just like finding that concept of general music of like, let's keep these kids engaged all the time, or at least as much as possible. That's hard in the band setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So right. Can I talk about some of the general things that
I've
learned?
Yeah, definitely.
Man, so like I have all these interviews to piece together, and I start at one point, somebody did an interview and I was on it, and they asked me to like kind of put it all into one thought. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do that. But I did come up with like everything seemed to fit into three categories. Mm-hmm. Great music, relationships with people, and pedagogy, striving for mastery. And then so somebody pushed back and they said, yeah, but there's a fourth one, and it's also your health. So I said, okay, well, you're right. That's really important too. Like for examples, for pedagogy, I had John McAllister on. John mm-hmm. McAllister has amazing warmups. That was somewhere in the 50s. And like a name like Chip DiStefano, like somebody who is one of these world-class band directors, but the ability to sit and talk with him and listen about how he teaches band, you know, was just amazing. And one other one that I'll mention is just under the great music repertoire, you know, just really striving for learning about as much music as possible and sharing that with people. So one of the things I've tried to do is we've had over, I think, 20 episodes at this point of just, hey, here's 10 pieces for whatever grade level. Here's a couple minutes about the piece and then take a listen. So those have been pretty popular.
Sweet. Isn't it fun to look back and see those trends and see all of the different? Yeah. We just did our last episode, the one right before winter break. I was talking about my research project, and I guess that's like the benefit of being a PhD student and having a podcast is you can kind of like use your podcast for research. So I went through and analyzed a ton of different episodes to see, you know, same kind of idea, what were the themes? And, you know, it's interesting you said relationships mm-hmm. because that comes up a lot in what we do and what we talk about as well. You know, we saw this is specifically an empowerment podcast. So obviously, you know, we didn't hear a lot about repertoire because that's not necessarily what we were focused on, but you know, they wanted students who were independent learners, independent musicians, and they did it by focusing on the individual students, building those relationships, right? And then focusing on the learning environment. So I think it's neat to hear how some of that does translate in some of the things that your guests talked about as well.
Yeah. I mean, just to hear people talk about, you know, yeah. So somebody said, yeah, this great band director who I had literally took me in the back room and pushed me up against the wall and almost threatened me. But that was what I needed at that time. And he would never do that to anybody else. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he was able to kind of reach me because he had a relationship with me. So, you know, the great directors who know every single one of their kids and how to push their buttons. I mean,
yeah,
you know what button to push, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, and that might get you fired these days, but but knowing the students is something that's so, so important and so valuable. So I wanted to ask about something that you put in your social media on your Facebook group mm-hmm. related to your podcast. You said that your district was able to consider this professional development. Do you consider podcasting professional development?
I guess the bigger question I would have is, do you have a better version of professional development to bring to me? Because, I mean, besides maybe being at Midwest for a couple days, like, I have not found anything that's close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's my case. You can search through any podcast app, through any name. Say you want to listen to Bobby Lambert, just put his name and band and anything will come up. Say you want to listen about sleep. Say you want to listen about exercise, like anything. But obviously you can leave the session anytime you want. You can listen to the session multiple times and it's all anonymous. They don't know you're leaving their session. It's just gone. And it's there for you forever. All I had to do was, we have a form called professional growth and development form, something, I don't know, but you know, it basically where you have to plan what you want to do. So they said no one thing could be more than 45 hours, which is half of the time that we need. So I said, okay. So I just wrote up what I was doing. I mean, I thought it was a no brainer. And then last cycle, they actually did it to end last cycle and they took it and they said, yeah, that's fine. Cause I like gave them the links and I'm like, this is professional development on my own time. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Mm-hmm. And they took it. So then I had to fill out another form because my next 5 years started this year. So the reason I posted that was because the person who was super nice came to me and she said, I'm not sure they're going to take it this time because you did that last time. And I was like, I have so many questions right now. But I was able to say, they approved it again on like as long as at the end of this 5 years, I'm able to give them like a summary. I don't even know how to do that. A summary of like what I was like, it's not the same thing. It's like all new, every hour is like a new thing. So I just asked. And I mean, anybody in their right mind, I think would see it as professional development. I mean, if you wanted to like get credit for listening to a band director podcast, I mean, that should count as well. But I would think like running one should be like super, super obvious. So I think people should, if you have a good relationship with the people who do your professional development, like just put it out there. You should be able to get some credit.
That's awesome. It as you said, it counted last time, but it won't count this time. That's like saying, well, you can go to your state conference this year, but next year it won't count because you already went to the state conference once.
It's like the same people who use the word, and I don't mean to step on any toes or offend anybody, but the new learning, like what's old learning? Like if you're learning it, it's new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like also when I said personalized learning, because I'm like, all learning is personalized too, right? So, but yeah.
Or at least it should be if we're doing it right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, well, I think you have given me an idea. Like, I feel like I want to explore that in my district for sure, because I would love to do, if to me, like this is the most meaningful professional development for me, because it's just, I'm seeking it out. It's just the best. So I think it's very valid, but so thanks for the idea.
Of course.
Yeah. So we do like to talk about our students in the podcast too. How would you say the podcast has empowered your music students?
Well, I wrote some notes here because I was kind of stumped when you give me that one at first.
Ah, good.
I think, you know how when you bring a guest in front of your band or your orchestra or your class and you step aside and you're saying like, here you go, you know, the message you give your kids is that I think somebody told me once, I'm not the keeper of all things band. You know, I'm not the keeper of all things music. I am just teaching you right now. Here's somebody else. I think that vulnerability is really huge. Mm-hmm. So I think it shows my students that I walk the walk. You know, if I want you to continue to keep going, well, hey, here, this is what I've been doing. What was my notes? I think my students are proud to know that their band director runs it. At least they tell me they are. Hopefully they see my search for growth as a model and empowers them to look to grow throughout their lives. Yeah. They were also really proud because I did a piece by Laura Estes called Sinterklaas's Rooftop Ride. And instead of reading the notes, I actually had her on a podcast where she talked about that piece and then we listened to it. So I actually queued it up in front of the band. I'm like, I don't normally have you listen to my podcast, even though some of them do, which is kind of weird, but shows they're like really into it. So then I was able to just play the clip and they actually got to see the composer talking about the piece. So it like kind of brought it home a little bit.
That's really neat. Yeah. Is podcasting cool when you're in high school? I don't really know. Is that, does,
I don't know anything. I learn new words every day that are not the words they think they are, but like, I'll give you a new one. Did you know the word chat? If you can say, hey, chat, like that's hello to a group of people.
Oh.
Okay.
But chat's a verb.
Does not matter. We don't care about the facts.
Okay. That's good to know. But, you know, that's a really, it's an interesting point how you talked about, though, that, you know, you are always learning and you are modeling that for your students.
Yeah,
I think that's huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you're walking the walk. I think if kids, you know, they, especially if you in some ways are kind of shaking up the learning and changing it a little bit, your classroom might look a little bit different than maybe some of their other classrooms. I think it totally matters that they see that, well, you're doing it too. Well, you're being vulnerable too, because why would I do it if I don't see other people doing it? So I feel like, yeah, you have to walk the walk. And that way it reminds you what the learner experience is like. But yeah, that's awesome.
And I was told once that, I don't, and this is not a new concept, but maybe it will be to some people, that like there is no end goal. Mm. It's not that the goal is learning. Mm-hmm. Learning is the goal. It's not like, okay, when I learn this much, I will then stop. Because it was one of these health episodes I'm listening to, and they literally said, yeah, when people stop learning, their body declines.
Mm.
So, you know, that's why people who are just continuing to learn into their 80s, you know, they continue to learn because they want to keep growing.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's like Simon Sinek. He has his book, The Infinite Game. The idea that everything should be an infinite game. The idea of the game is to perpetuate and continue the game. It's not to win or lose. And I think that's so, so valid in education with what we do in music.
Yeah, I think he talks about like it just staying in the game, you know. Mm-hmm. And at one point, yeah, I guess there was a competition between Microsoft and Apple, and Microsoft was competing against Apple, but Apple was competing against Microsoft. They were competing against just staying in the game. So like they were playing the long game rather than the short game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He talks about Apple and Microsoft, I think, in like every single book. It's like, you know, but anyways, yeah. And that's such an interesting way to think about it, though, with us learning. And I know even, so I teach undergraduate music education majors. And when they found out last semester I had a podcast, they're like, wait, you do this? I said, well, yeah, but why? Because it's interesting, because I like it, because I learn things. And they were so like just intrigued by that thought that, you know, that, yeah, I want to keep learning. I want to talk to all of these interesting people. And do you ever say to your students, well, I heard this on a podcast, let's try it. Or like, look, we're going to try this thing that a podcast guest, do you say it like that? Or do you just do it?
I try to just do it.
Okay.
If I said it a lot, they'd probably give me a hard time. Yeah. They haven't given me a hard time yet, which tells me that I haven't said it very much.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I know I've heard teachers say things before, like, oh, well, you know, the kids know when I come back from state conference, cause I try to mix everything up. Or
yeah. Yeah.
But that's a good thing. So let's think about the people who are listening today, right? Not everybody listening has a podcast, which is fine. I don't think anybody of us would say everyone has to go out and start podcasting. But what would you suggest for other music teachers as far as like professional growth? You know, we often on the podcast will say, what can somebody try tomorrow? Maybe not tomorrow, it's winter break still, but what would your advice be? What suggestions would you have when we're thinking about this idea of growing and empowering ourselves as music educators?
So is your question, what can somebody do with their program to help their program improve?
Or I think,
what can somebody do for professional development?
Well, why don't you give us one of each? Because it looks like you might have one of each.
Well, to be honest, for professional development, I mean, to me, it's just, you know, listen to podcasts, anyone that mm-hmm. you want to listen to, and go when you're at state conventions or wherever your students are, sit and watch the rehearsal. Mm. Don't have coffee next door when, like, I don't know, Tony Maiello is rehearsing the band. Like, hello, like, sit. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of, no matter where you go in what state, all these people who are just like, it's like 3 days of a free clinic of how to rehearse a band, you know? So like, sit there with your notepad, and you can't get to every single hour, but come on, get in there. So that's my that's my sort of soapbox. And then on the soapbox of how you can make your program better right away. Again, I don't know enough to tell everybody what to do. That's not my intention. However, if people program easy enough so that their students can master the music they're playing while also growing them and pushing them in ways on other pieces too, I just think the overprogramming thing is everywhere. People say, mm-hmm. okay, my kids are 15. We're playing a grade four. It's like, hello. Like, I have a band that at one point couldn't spell the word grade four. Like, why would we, you know, we lived in the grade two, but people would say grade two is middle school. I don't care. Like, music is music. So if people can find, and if you're searching on JW Pepper and you go to click like the level, don't get rid of the easy level. Like, listen to whatever, you know, listen to good music. You know, I've done grade ones with one of my high school bands before, but like, it was a great piece of music. Mm-hmm. So.
And a lot of that, I think, is what you were saying before, just knowing your kids, mm-hmm. right? Knowing and teaching the students who are in front of you. And that's been like one of my little soapbox recently. It's don't teach the kids you think you have or you want to have or the kids you had last year or the ones who are in the school next door. Like, teach the kids who are in front of you. Mm-hmm. Do what's best for those students.
And one of the ways that I try to put that into practice is like, okay, take the second alto saxophone part and the kids who are playing that part. How does that line up with them? Mm-hmm. You know, like, actually pair the kids with the music that you're planning them to play. I mean, some people just say, oh, this is a great piece. We're going to do it. Well, Festive Overture is a great piece. My kids can't play it right now.
And that's okay.
Yes.
They don't need to.
Yep.
Right? We're going think for what's going to be best for the students in your room. Yeah.
100%.
All right. So we've got suggestions for teachers, listens to podcasts, and watch amazing rehearsals. Right?
Yeah.
And then also don't overprogram.
That's it. And focus on tone.
Oh, like,
tone
goodness.
Is so much more important than rhythm. I'm just going to say it. Like, yes, rhythm's important. Yes, articulation's important. Like, obviously, but if like the tone is terrible, nothing else matters.
Then what's the point? Yeah.
No, there isn't. Yeah. And how do you listen to that? My wife says that. She'll listen to some other bands sometimes. I don't mean to throw anybody on the bus. I'm not saying names. She'll come back from something and go, how do you listen to that all day? Like, how do you listen day after day to music that's really with really bad sounds? Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're in a middle school. Like, teach them to play with really good sounds, tone, mm-hmm. even if it's just selfishly that you don't want to listen to bad tone.
Oh, and nobody wants to sound bad, right? Kids know. They can tell the difference. I think a lot about, like, I taught elementary school band. You can make elementary kids sound good.
Yep.
It just depends on where your focus is. And I think, yeah, go ahead.
And that's where the programming easy enough comes from. Because like, if your kids sound great and they know they sound great, well, then there's culture right there. You know, yeah. they sound great and they're enjoying it so much more. They're not getting lost and they're going to a concert having no idea where, like, what line they're on. Like, that's mm-hmm. not fun for anybody. The parents support you more. And, you know, then you can say, hey, guess what? Here's a piece that's going to stretch us a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can stretch knowing that they sound good already.
Yeah. Well, and then you're also teaching, you know, you're teaching these skills, right? You're teaching them to be good musicians and not just saying, we're going to learn this really hard piece of music. What's the point in just learning one really hard piece of music if we can really learn how to play our instruments, if we can really learn how to sing, if we can actually learn the skills that are going to make us musical?
And right now I found kids sometimes don't like learning really hard stuff too. They don't want to work on something super hard. They want to sound good on something that they enjoy playing.
Yeah. So many like little soapboxes all in one that we could just go off of. Well, this has been interesting and exactly kind of what we were hoping for. We talk about, you know, just your experience as a podcaster, how that's impacting you as a band director, and then how it's impacting your students. And I think, you know, all of us as music teachers, we want the best for our students. We really want them to have great musical experiences. Is there anything that we didn't ask you about today that we should have?
You know, I can't think of anything, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Of course, I'm not very smart, so I can't think of things on top of my head. So
I was just making sure there wasn't like one little nugget that you had written down. Like, I really want to make sure I say this.
No, okay, there isn't. There isn't.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, this has been great, Kyle. How can people connect with you if they want to learn more about your work and your podcast?
So any podcast platform or YouTube, Growing Band Director, also growingband.com. I'm on Facebook and they should join the community. We're at about 3,000 members at this point, the Facebook community,
Nice.
and growing. So,
Always growing, right?
yeah. Send me an instant message or not, that shows that I'm old. Not an instant message. What's it called? Private message. IM was like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
goodness. It's okay. We knew exactly what you were talking about.
We did.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. We'll make sure that we put links to the Facebook group and podcast and all of that good stuff in the show notes. So, all right. Thanks a lot.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
If you liked today's episode, you will love the PassTheBatonBook.com website, where you can find free resources, coaching services, and how to support Pass the Baton. Speaking of support, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks again for listening.